So we've got institutional money coming in. We've got a scarcity event coming, and hopefully later this year we might see some qualitative easing with the Fed. So all of those generally lead to larger prices from a US dollar perspective for Bitcoin.
On this episode of Early Bird, Chris Revis, founder and CEO of Avid Intent. Chris joins the podcast today to talk about Bitcoin investing in 2024, including the rise of spot Bitcoin ETFs and upcoming Bitcoin things you should know. If you're an investor looking to stay on top of the latest market trends, then you're listening to the right podcast. This is Early Bird, and I'm your host, Stephen Lerner. Before we get to today's discussion, let me tell you how you can save time and beat the market through Early Bird, a free daily email newsletter featuring commentary about the latest trends in stocks, cryptocurrency, and equity crowdfunding. Early Bird is designed to help individual and non-professional investors stay on top of all of the critical investing trends. The newsletter is 100% free and is sent to your email box each weekday morning. Subscribe to Early Bird for free at www.earlybird.email. Once again, that's earlybird.email. And now, today's discussion. All right, Chris, welcome to the Early Bird podcast. How are you doing today?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing great. About yourself, Stephen?
Doing great. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to talk about Bitcoin investing in 2024 and what investors should know. But before we get started, Chris, in about 30 seconds or less, what should the audience know about you and your background?
Yeah, sure. So I happen to be an author of a book about Bitcoin mining. I've been in Bitcoin for nearly 5 years now. I run a small private company that does investing in Bitcoin mining around that space. Outside of that world, I've been in tech for about 35 years. So I'm just an average normie that happens to have an allocation to Bitcoin and like to encourage other people that want to be in that space, you know, how to do that smartly and safely.
Great background. I think it's wonderful what you're doing, and you have a lot of knowledge about Bitcoin. Let's catch people up about Bitcoin in 2024. It reached its all-time high recently, and there are a lot of reasons behind that. What are some recent events regarding Bitcoin that people should be aware of?
Yeah, there's a couple great things going on if you like the price going up from a US dollar perspective right now. One is something called the halving. This happens every 4 years. So right now, about 900 Bitcoin are being mined per day. And about a month, that will go down to 450. The other really big news is all the institutional money coming in with BlackRock and Fidelity and others with their ETFs. So they're a net buys daily of almost $1 billion, which is significant size to this asset class. It's not, that would be significant in others, but so we've got institutional money coming in. We've got a scarcity event coming, and hopefully later this year we might see some qualitative easing with the Fed. So all of those generally lead to larger prices from a US dollar perspective for Bitcoin.
Interesting. Let's break that down. The halving event that you said, let's just be clear about what that is and when that is. That's going to probably occur in April, right?
Yeah, correct. So the algorithm makes it happen every 4 years. It's hard-coded in the code. So roughly every 4 years, give or take a few days, it'll happen. So right now it looks like it'll be April 19th or 20th. In the code, because Bitcoin's a scarce asset, there's only 21 million. Every 4 years, it steps down how much can be mined, to make sure that it doesn't exceed that 21 million. So today, it's roughly 900 Bitcoin a day, 6.25 every 2 minutes. Starting in April 19th or 20th, that'll go to half. So it'll be 3.125 Bitcoin mined every 10 minutes. And then 4 years down from that, that'll half again. And that'll keep going for roughly 100 years until all 21 million Bitcoin have been mined.
Got it. And so from a catalyst perspective, by halving Bitcoin in April, we're going to decrease the supply, which would, you think, increase the price of it, right?
Yeah, historically what happens is like right around those events, it's a little bit bumpy and it's a little bit, sort of like a crab market, goes up and down side to side. And then usually a few months after that, if you look at the last few halvings, that's when we see, bull runs and bumps to all-time highs. So right around the halving, there's uncertainty. It's not like a sure thing, but within 6 months after that, if you look at the last three halvings, Bitcoin reaches new all-time highs due to the scarcity and then people being aware of what's happening.
Understood. And so that's sort of the halving event, and that's a big thing in April for Bitcoin. But the other big thing in 2024, in January, the United States finally approved of spot Bitcoin exchange traded funds or ETFs. What exactly are spot Bitcoin ETFs, and why is that such a big deal in Bitcoin?
Yeah, I'll answer the question backwards. I think the big deal is it's very easy for anyone with any sort of trading account to buy an ETF, and they don't have to take self-custody or buy an exchange or any of that. And that allows pension funds and lots of other folks that couldn't get into Bitcoin to get into it. So that's significant. The spot part is great because there's a custodian on the back end. It's Coinbase in some cases. Fidelity has their own. So there's a guarantee that someone's really actually buying and holding that Bitcoin, unlike the debacle we saw with FTX and others, where it's just paper Bitcoin and nefarious actors. You've got good actors here with a good history in the case of BlackRock and Fidelity and all the others. And when you buy that ETF, there really is Bitcoin behind it being held by those entities. So that's, I think, why there's a lot of excitement and bullish parts there. And we're seeing, Larry Fink and Fidelity flat out promoting Bitcoin, publicly, which is not something we've seen, until January, right? There's been a lot of hesitation in how do we play, but now there's a way for really anyone to step into that.
Yeah, if you traveled back 5 years and told yourself, oh, Larry Fink and others would get behind
Right.
Bitcoin and actively promote it, you thought, oh, you're lying. That's not going to happen. But no, it's happening. It is the
Right.
reality right now. So, in a nutshell, Chris, it sounds like by allowing spot Bitcoin ETFs, which directly follow the price of Bitcoin, by allowing investors to in the US to get those spot Bitcoin ETFs, we're giving investors more direct access to Bitcoin than they've ever had before. That sounds like a pretty big deal, right?
Huge deal, huge deal. And we're seeing just the beginnings of this, right? But pension funds, teacher funds, all that can now do that. And I mean, they could probably have done it before, but taking self-custody of your Bitcoin is sort of a scary proposal if you think of, like a firefighter's pension fund or a teacher's pension fund versus they're already with BlackRock or Fidelity or whoever, and they just add, a 1% allocation to the ETF. That's a really easy way for them to enjoy the gains.
So, as we said, Bitcoin hit a record in 2024. I want to take a look at from an investor's standpoint of value. Long term, the price of Bitcoin will likely go up. We don't know, but it will likely go up many years in the future. As far as 2024 is concerned, is this as good as it gets? Is the price of Bitcoin going to only go down this year, or maybe just go up
Right.
slightly? I mean, what do you say to those investors who still aren't investing in Bitcoin, but they're thinking about it in terms of short term in 2024?
Yeah, sure. Short term. I mean, I tell all my investors to look, 4 to 10 years out. But to answer your question directly, short term, I'd say a high likelihood. I mean, it's all likelihoods in investment, right? But high likelihood we'll see north of low six figures by the end of this year. If there's some strange, crazy macro world events that shapes the whole market, every market, but absent of those, where it was unexpected that we'd be at these high 60 numbers now, quite honestly, before the halving. So the ETFs, I think, have bumped us up quite a bit. The scarcity will only continue. It's not like, the Fed or the Treasury could print 42 more million Bitcoin. It's going to stay at 21 million. So I would say there's a high likelihood of north of low six figures, so 100, 120K by the end of the year. But Bitcoin is where it's such a low time preference that we know it is going to happen, but not exactly when, right? Just to be fair. So if someone's going to bank 100%, hey, Chris said it's going to be 120K and I'll double my money, I'm not promising that, but all the data points to that, all the patterns point to that. The next big all-time high we'll probably see this time next year, quite honestly. But I feel very confident that we'll exceed six figures by the end of 24.
Interesting prediction. It sounds like for me, the halving moment is going to be pretty big for Bitcoin, but it looks like maybe it's already been baked into the price. Does that sound about right, or do you think no, it hasn't really affected the price as of yet?
Yeah, it's What normally happens around the halving, so right about this time, a month before and a month after, there can be a small dip, a 5 to 7 to 10% dip, and then a big climb back out. That's sort of normal behavior, at least based on, no, we've only had, three to look at, and the volumes have been relatively small compared to this one. So, the data set is not perfect for us here. But yeah, there's a incredibly good chance the same directional pattern where we've seen all-time highs in the 6 to 18 months after the halving, incredibly high chance that's going to happen again. We've got more volume. We've got the institutional investors. We've got good timing with probably qualitative easing coming around, so more liquidity, which always is good for on-risk assets, right? So all those things are lined up. Now, my only hesitation is that there's some monster macro event, and I hope it doesn't happen, but there's, nervousness about China and Taiwan or stuff in the Middle East, right? If we go out to a more warlike situation, that's bad for all the markets, right? And that's not, of course, baked in that analysis.
Good point. When we return, we'll hear from Chris about why investors should consider Bitcoin and about the potential impact of the U.S. Federal Reserve. But first, let me tell you how you can become a more informed investor through Early Bird, a free daily email newsletter. Early Bird has commentary on the latest events and trends in stocks, cryptocurrency, and crowdfunding. With Early Bird's daily weekday email, investors can quickly stay on top of the trends and beat the market. Subscribe to Early Bird for free at www.earlybird.email. Once again, that's earlybird.email. And now, back to today's discussion. So, Chris, today we're talking about Bitcoin investing in 2024. Let's say you're an investor, Chris, never put a dime in Bitcoin, never invested. Why should investors consider Bitcoin as an alternative investment in 2024?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've done a lot of study and I've been burned by a lot of things. I mean, if you're going to go in crypto at all, I would say Bitcoin only for a long list of reasons. Things that are different about Bitcoin versus a traditional stock or many other cryptocurrencies, it's totally decentralized. There's not a CEO or venture capital firm behind it. So there's no one that can do like a pump or dump scheme or any of those sorts of things. And that's fairly unique, right? We don't have a lot of asset classes like that. We've already talked about the institutional money going behind it. So there's some safety in numbers there. The other is you can get in so easily with such a small amount. I mean, you can go buy $5 on Swan Bitcoin or a tiny dollar amount in the ETFs and just learn about it, right? You can dip your toe in this really easily. But the way I look at it for generational wealth. So I'm looking for my kids and their grandkids. And if we've got a scarce asset and we've got increased demand on that asset, over time, that's going to increase differently than anything else. We look at the last 14 years of Bitcoin. It's like 8 out of the last 11 years, the number one performing asset. Even with the bumps and dips and valleys, it's doing well on that year over year time frame. So, a 1% allocation or more, I think, is incredibly smart. I think Fidelity was recommending 5, and BlackRock's recommending up to 15 for their big fish investors. I personally don't go that big, but the nice thing though is you could argue you've got a hedge against inflation because it's a scarce asset, not based in the U.S. dollar. It's global. Right. So if the U.S. flat out banned Bitcoin, which would be a lot, and I don't think likely, but if they did, it's a global asset. So, to a certain degree, so what? I mean, that'd have an impact on ETFs, but if you hold native Bitcoin, it wouldn't. And, honestly, if you look at the math and the science and the quality of people around the Bitcoin universe, folks that are in, it's very, very different than cryptocurrency or venture capital. These are people that have a lot of stability, a lot of smarts, a lot of long-term view. I mean, they're serious about this. This isn't a short-term like hobby on the side, or side hustle. They're very serious about building a better currency, and a better store of value. So lots and lots of reasons there, but the easiest is you can get in and you can get out pretty quick, right? With a small allocation and then learn some more and then decide if it's right for you.
Great points, Chris. So just to go over one of those points, you mentioned there's no pump or dump scams of any kind, but we know in crypto there have been several scams throughout the past few years. Lots of people have lost money with scams in cryptocurrency. And unlike traditional banks where you might have that money insured by the federal government, your funds in a crypto platform, if it goes belly up, you lose all those funds in that platform. There's no insurance for you. So what do you say about that sort of apprehension that people worry about scams?
It's an incredibly valid one. And look, it's something different, right? So our brains, all of our brains, because we're humans, are going to go give us all the reasons why not to do it, just like anything new. Mm-hmm. A few things there. I mean, certainly there's tons of bad actors like FTX and others. So a few things there. I mean, Fidelity, BlackRock, right? We can argue whether they're bad actors or not, but they're certainly way better actors than FTX and others. With Bitcoin, as you go on the learning curve and as you learn more, you can take self-custody just like you can with a gold coin or silver coin and be absent and completely off those exchanges in an incredibly secure way. Now, that's overwhelming to most people. We're used to having, a fund hold our funds or a bank hold our funds, but you can take 100% self-custody and not have any of that, counterparty risk at all. So just know that that's an option. But yeah, I would still, as much as I love Bitcoin and think it's incredibly important, I would treat it like an on-risk asset, right? I wouldn't put everything you have into it yet, especially as you're learning about it. The nice thing about actually natively holding Bitcoin is you hold it. So no matter what happens with an FTX type entity, you're insulated from that. And I would say, because it's new and because it maybe is in the face of some of the traditional finance world, we're going to see lots of news stories, that'll spin, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. That's a normal sort of behavior when something new enters the market. It happened with the internet not that long ago, right? And it was going to be a fad, and here we are. So, I think there's lots of concerns. I think it's smart to be smart about it and go slow. But there's so many options with Bitcoin specifically that I would argue it's a lot safer than all the 24,000 other cryptocurrencies out there.
Understood. We talked about the Fed a bit earlier. Yep. Chris, I'm of the notion that, I know everyone's expecting interest rates to decline at some point in 2024. I actually don't think we're going to get it this year. I think the Fed will hold steady personally because of higher than expected inflation in 2024. If that were to happen, if interest rates do not decline this year, what could happen to Bitcoin?
I don't think it would go up as high. I think it'll still go up. There's some Bitcoin maxis that says Bitcoin doesn't care, and like they're partially right, but there's a market we all exist in. It's going up now and has been going up consistently on pace with the ETFs and the halving, and rates are relatively high throughout that. It climbed out of a all-time low was around 15K this last bear market. We're up to the high 60s now and increasing. So I think it'll still increase. Stephen, I just don't think it will maybe hit as high a peak, if that makes sense.
No, that makes total sense. Chris, if you're a new investor getting started in Bitcoin, where should they get started? Should they look at the ETFs, the new spot Bitcoin ETFs in the U.S.? Should they look at holding the native token? What would you recommend? What are those different options available to investors, especially new investors in Bitcoin?
Yeah, I would, so some maxi Bitcoiners are not going to like me for this, but in terms of really like you're brand new to it and have lots of concerns, if you already have, Fidelity or Grayscale or any kind of account where you can buy an ETF, put a little allocation there. I'm a big fan of putting a little money in something, then learning about it, then putting more into it. It's nothing, you can sit in indecision paralysis and reading lots of books and not do anything. But, when you put even $50 into a thing, we're invested a little bit with our time and energy. So I would do that first. It's so easy to do. My next step would be I would stay completely away from Coinbase or Gemini or any exchange. And the reason for that is they have all these different altcoins out there. And it's kind of like walking in a casino, right? And you see all the lights and blinky things, and it's really hard not to put, $20 in the slot machine, even though you know you're going to lose. It's human nature. We get excited and all these other things. So I would go to a Bitcoin-only place like Swan Bitcoin or Unchained or River Capital. You can buy Bitcoin there. You can do, dollar cost averaging. And they will explain to you how to do self-custody when you're ready. So ETF, go to a Bitcoin-only entity, and then, once you're comfortable, I would do self-custody with a hardware device.
Understood. Those are some great options. And just a reminder to our listeners, you know, this is not professional financial advice. Speak to a professional licensed financial advisor before making any major financial decisions. This is just for entertainment purposes. But great advice, Chris. Real quick, your prediction for Bitcoin the rest of the year. I know you talked a little bit about this, but real quick, what do you think is going to happen with Bitcoin for the rest of the year?
You know, it'll bounce around crab-like here for another 3 months. It'll go up and down. I would say late summer to early fall, we're going to see lots of green candles going up through the remainder of the year. My personal prediction is somewhere between 120 and 150 later in 24. I think if everything continues to happen as it does, in 2025, we're going to be pretty astounded by the number. The folks I follow and trust have numbers bigger than I'm comfortable with, but they're talking, you know, 230, 250. I frankly, and again, that's short term. I'm looking 4-10 years out, right? I'm planning for $1 million Bitcoin, you know, over my time horizon. So I don't look at the short stuff as much.
Yeah.
So my numbers are going to be off, right? I'm looking longer term.
Got it. All right. Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming on the Early Bird podcast today to talk about Bitcoin investing in 2024. Before we wrap up the podcast, I just have one final question for you, Chris, and it's the most important question for today's discussion. That question for you, Chris, is if you had a day off with no responsibilities or commitments, how would you spend it?
Wow. I'm going to assume unlimited funds and I can travel at the speed of light. So I would get my family to a beach in Kauai and we just hang out and have fun. That's what I do.
Awesome. That's great. Thank you again to Chris for sharing your insights on Bitcoin. And thank you to everyone for listening to today's discussion. We'll be back next week for another episode of Early Bird. Have a great day.